that each one should have today as we come before the Lord and as we open God's Word. And the song says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there is some wicked way in me." Have you had that mindset today? Have you approached today, the Lord's day, with this humble heart attitude of God searching your heart? Have you come to church this morning because that's what you do, what good Baptists do on Sunday? Or have you come to do business with God, to hear from the Lord, to worship God? I challenge you this morning as we begin just to ponder that for a second. Get your own heart ready to receive from the Lord and open up your heart to God's truth. There's nothing greater. There's nothing better. Listen, pay attention. There's nothing better than for a holy God, the God of all creation, to personally deal with your heart. There's nothing greater that a mortal can know and understand than a holy God who loves you, who wants to deal with your heart. Why? Because your soul is eternal. Your soul He loves. Your soul He wants to spend eternity with Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you. God wants His perfect will and way in your life. What could be greater than that? Why do we hold on to our sin and our flesh, and why do we resist when God wants to do something good in our life? The challenge for you this morning is open up your heart to the truth of God. Ask the Lord to search you, to try you, to do a work in you. Because only in that is real blessing. Only in that is real peace. Not what we can do for ourselves, not what we can find for ourselves. And ultimately, a life that is resistant and that is lived for self is a life that will spend eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. But God doesn't want that for your life, for you. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd do a work in us today. Lord, I pray that You'd begin right now to soften every heart. And Father, as the Scriptures are opened up to us, and Father, this precious gift of Your Word is given, Lord, I pray that it would have eternal, lasting fruit. Lord, we ask that You'd accomplish Your will. Father, that Your Spirit would be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we have been in this series for some time, and we're bringing this series to a close. We've been, if you're a guest, a visitor, we've been considering the parables that Jesus spoke during His earthly ministry, and one by one working our way through them, not necessarily in any particular order. And we have been in this series for many, many weeks, and we come to the end. And the last parable that we're going to consider, and not necessarily the last one that Jesus gave, but the last one we'll consider in this series, is the parable of the net. In Matthew chapter 13, I want us to look this morning at verses 47 to 51. And Matthew 13 is full of parables. Jesus is teaching a multitude. You can look at the beginning of the chapter and find that multitudes of people have come to Jesus. He's teaching them. He's also teaching His disciples. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives seven different parables called the kingdom parables. And this is the last one that He gives here. And then the chapter also gives explanations of parables as well. Some of them, there aren't explanations. But Matthew 13, verse 47 to 51 is where we find the parable of the net. Verse 47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. This parable is the last of the seven kingdom parables. And like I said, Jesus has been speaking to a multitude and to his disciples and teaching them concerning the kingdom of God. God's kingdom right now is currently a spiritual kingdom. It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. It's a spiritual realm, a spiritual kingdom. One day his kingdom is going to be a literal kingdom, an earthly kingdom. But right now it's a spiritual kingdom. Each of these parables that we have considered has given us a glimpse of the gospel of the kingdom at work in this world and throughout time. This parable that Jesus just speaks, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. This parable brings us to the close of the period of this age, when the whole system of this world is going to be tried and going to be judged by the judge of all, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the other parables that we've considered in this chapter, that we've discussed, they all center around the gospel at work. And this parable is no different. When we considered the parable of the sower that was earlier in this chapter, we considered how the parable of the sower was to show us the condition of the hearts of men concerning the gospel. Some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some was choked out by thorns and so on. But some seed fell on good ground and it brought forth fruit. That parable was to teach us the condition of people's hearts concerning the gospel. Sometimes the gospel is preached and there are hearers, and sometimes it seems as though it springs up and it's going to bring forth fruit, but it's shallow soil. And underneath that shallow soil is rock, and the roots cannot go any deeper, and they're offended at the word, and they're choked out. Sometimes the gospel falls on hard hearts. It has no effect at all. Remember how we talked about the pathway that was between the fields and how it was trodden and it was like concrete. And when the seed of the gospel falls on a heart like that, the birds come and snatch the seed away. That's Satan snatching the gospel seed away from someone's heart and life. That was the parable of the sower. That was teaching us the condition of men's hearts concerning the gospel. We considered the parable of the tares in this chapter. And that taught us how some respond to the gospel and are true believers, but others are fake. They're the tares. And Jesus said that the wheat and the tares grow together until the time of the harvest. And that's when the true heart is revealed. There's coming a day of reaping. And in that day of reaping, the tares, those who are fake, are going to be exposed for who and what they really are, and they're going to be cast into the fire. Many times, churches are filled up with people who look like wheat, but they're actually tares. They put on a show, they put on a profession, they try to fool men into thinking that they're good Christian people. But God knows their heart, and there's a day of reaping coming, and both grow together until the harvest, when the true heart is going to be revealed. The parable of the tares shows us how some respond to the gospel, how some are true, some are fake. We considered the parable of the mustard seed. And in that, we looked at how the mustard seed was an illustration of the effect of the gospel in this world. How it started out so very small with Jesus and his disciples, but it grew and grew and grows until the gospel is spread in the entire world. We considered the parable of the leaven right after that. And that was the effect of the gospel in an individual's heart. And like leaven, how leaven permeates in the entire lump of dough, how there's no part of it that is not affected by it. It illustrates for us how the gospel affects the whole of a man's life and affects the whole of a man's heart. There's no part of a person's life that is not influenced and affected by the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If a person is truly saved, their entire being is changed. We looked at how leaven changes the nature of that lump. So does the gospel in a person's heart and life. We looked at the parable of the hid treasure. And that showed us or illustrated for us the value of the gospel and how different people are exposed to the gospel. While some people may not actually be seeking after it, when they are exposed to it, they recognize the value of it and they're willing to part with anything and everything to find the one thing of true value, salvation in Jesus Christ. We considered the woman at the well, how she wasn't searching for truth, but Jesus knew her heart. And Jesus had a meeting with her and he exposed her to the truth of the gospel. And when she heard it, when she saw it, she recognized its value and left her water pot and left her life of sin and came to Jesus Christ. That was the hid treasure. The man who found the hid treasure in the field, he went and sold all that he had to buy that field, parted, willing to part with everything else to get the one thing of value. We looked at the parable of the pearl of great price, again indicating the value of the gospel and how some are actually seeking after truth. And when they come under the sound of the gospel, they immediately recognize it as the truth and they embrace it with all their heart. The merchant man who was seeking goodly pearls, when he found the one pearl, he knew right away, this is the one. We considered the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, how he had gone to Jerusalem for to worship, and he was seeking after God, and he came away not finding what he was looking for until the Spirit of God called Philip and said, join yourself to this chariot. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Here he is searching the Scriptures. He's searching for truth. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And Philip began to preach unto him in the same Scripture, preach unto him Jesus. And immediately he recognized this as what he was looking for. Excuse me. That man was saved. Amen? Some people are searching for truth. When they come under the sound of the gospel, they immediately recognize it as the truth of God. See, all of these parables in this chapter all revolve around the gospel and the effect of the gospel. This parable before us this morning is no different. This parable is intended to highlight the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is at work in this world. This gospel is also available to everyone, but there's coming an end to the working of the gospel in this world. And in that day of gathering in, the judge of all is going to separate all who are his and all who are not. And I want us this morning to look and consider the parable of the net. First of all, consider with me, number one, the net itself. Look back in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. This net itself is something of purpose. A net was something that was prepared. A net was something that was fitted for a particular purpose. That purpose was to catch fish. Now at the time, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. His disciples were fishermen. All right? They were professionals. They understood this illustration very well. And in those days, there were different types of nets that were used for fishing. The term that Jesus uses here when he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, that term means to drag, or it means to sweep. I was doing some reading and some research on on fishing in the days of Jesus and some history, historical type things, and came across some very interesting information. This net, this term to drag or to sweep, was a reference to a particular kind of net. Here's what some of what I came across. The net was a net that was cast into the water to catch fish, but this particular net, the particular use of this net, was to drag them up from the bottom. As this net was dragged along, it keeps gathering all in its way, both good and bad, both small and great. And when it is brought to the shore, those which are proper for use are preserved, and those which are not are either destroyed or thrown back into the water. The net was a drag net, a sweep net. And it was intended to be cast into the water, to sink to the bottom, to sweep and drag along the bottom all the way into the shore. As it was dragged along, it would collect anything and everything along its way. The net itself made no distinction of the kind of fish that were caught in it. The net itself was of a particular purpose. That net made no distinction, though, and it received all that came into it. And this is a wonderful, wonderful picture of the gospel of the grace of God, my friend. The invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a universal invitation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the net of the gospel is sweeping along in this world, gathering all that will come into it. It's not specific or making distinctions, because there is no distinction with God. God loves all souls of men. There are those who believe that the gospel is only for the elect. That's not truth according to God's word. It's a whosoever will gospel. It's a whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved gospel. Just like the sunshine and just like the rain comes to both the bad and the good, the gospel is for everyone. Romans chapter 10, turn over there with me, please. Romans chapter 10. Look with me in verse 11. Romans 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul is writing here, and he's saying the Scriptures say, whosoever believes on Him is not ashamed. And he goes on to point out to these Jewish people that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. It's the same Lord over all. And the Jews didn't like that word, whosoever. And the reason they did not like that is because they thought that they were the only chosen people of God. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 here, Paul is actually referencing and citing the prophet Joel. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Paul is citing the Old Testament prophet Joel. And when he quotes from the Old Testament prophets, what is he doing here? When he's speaking to Jewish people, he's proving to them and showing them that whoever calls upon Christ will be saved, and not the Jews only. This is why he says there is no difference between Jew and Greek in God's economy. The truth is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is given to all nations. It's That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. The gospel is at work in this world, and it is specifically designed for drawing men in this world today. The net is something of purpose. The gospel is something of purpose. It is specifically designed to draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Is the Spirit of God drawing you today? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Truly? Have you repented of your sin and trusted in Christ? Are you here today, a lost soul? Not sure of where you're going to go when you die? Maybe trusting in some religion or some personal belief and hoping that, you know, when my time is up and I stand before God, that hopefully things will be good. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that you can know for sure your sins are forgiven if we believe the gospel, if we obey the gospel. Maybe you've been under conviction and you've been resisting the Spirit of God. The gospel is drawing you. The net of the gospel is trying to draw you in. Not only, we're considering the net itself, and not only is it something of purpose, but it is something that is to be cast. Verse 47 of our text in Matthew 13 said that that net, the kingdom of heaven, is like a net that is cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Here's it, it shows us the universal nature of the gospel, but it is something that was cast into the sea. The net was cast into the sea. The sea represents the sphere in which men live and move. It's the world, the sea of humanity. And into the sea of humanity, the net of the gospel has been cast for the purpose of drawing men. The question is, for saints of God, are you faithful at casting the net of the gospel? The net doesn't do any good if it's not cast out into the sea. Amen. We can hold the truth. We can hold that net, the gospel, in our hands. But if we do not cast the net of the gospel into the sea of humanity, it does no good. Are you faithful at sharing Jesus Christ? Are you faithful at being a witness for Christ? Are you faithful to cast the net of the gospel? If you're not, friend, you're being disobedient to God's intended purpose and will for your life. Every child of God is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The net is something of purpose, and it's something to be cast, and it represents for us the universal call of the gospel and the need for the gospel in this world. But I want you to look at verse 48 with me. Secondly, not only we consider the net itself, but we consider the gathering here. Verse 48. So verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. Consider the gathering here. The end of verse 47, it says that it gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. What was the purpose or the intent of casting the net into the sea? Well, it was to gather in the fish, amen, right? That was the purpose and intent of casting the net. And the net did its job because the net was filled up. And so the net did its job. And listen, this illustrates for us that the gospel will do its job in the hearts of men. God promised that His word would not return void. Sometimes it doesn't seem as though much is happening, much is going on. Maybe we're trying to be a faithful witness and we're sharing the gospel, and it doesn't seem like much is happening. Listen, it's not up to us to manufacture results. We are simply distributors. We are simply the ones who cast the net. We are simply the ones who get it out there. The gospel will do its job in the hearts of men. The good and the bad fish that are in this parable represents for us people in this world. When that net was drawn to shore, they sat down and they began to take out the good and throw away the bad. It represents for us people in this world. But the difference between the bad and the good people in this parable is that one group sees and understands their need of salvation and they respond to Jesus Christ by faith. But the other group sees no need to be saved. They spurn the person of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, they're cast away. This is the gathering. The gospel, listen, the gospel is doing its work in this world. It is gathering and drawing. Let me just point out to you this truth this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ makes men face up to reality. It's doing its work. The gospel, when people are exposed to it, makes men face up to reality. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the final truth. It is the ultimate reality. And the reality is that our soul is eternal. And we've got a choice to make. And we have to respond and obey the gospel if we're ever going to see heaven. If we choose to reject Jesus Christ and the gospel, our soul will face the judgment of God for all eternity. That is the ultimate reality, my friend. And the gospel brings people face to face with the ultimate reality. The good are those who see and understand their need of salvation, that they're sinners before God, they've offended God, that God's judgment and wrath abides on them, and they choose to deal honestly with Jesus Christ when they learn about who He is, and when they learn about themselves and the sinners they are before God and their offense to God, and they begin to see that my soul is condemned. I don't want to be. I need Jesus Christ. They're the ones who choose to deal honestly with Jesus Christ and concerning themselves. The bad are those who run from the reality of Jesus Christ. They have no desire to put themselves under the lordship of Christ. They want to run their own life. And they willfully choose a world of unbelief to a world of faith in Jesus Christ. They live for the here and now. They choose the physical realm and hope that someday things are going to be okay. They choose unreality rather than the reality of Christ. See, the gospel brings people face to face with this reality. Secondly, when a person is confronted with the gospel of Christ, it reveals what kind of person they really are. Think about that. When a person is confronted with the gospel of Christ, it reveals what kind of person he is. It tells whether a person will deal honestly with the truth or whether they're going to reject it and turn from it. The gospel isolates a man and causes him to have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. We can't stay the same. We can't remain neutral when we're exposed to the gospel. A decision to reject Jesus Christ is a final decision that will cause separation for all eternity. A person's either going to choose to follow Christ or they're going to turn from Him. We cannot remain neutral when the gospel is we are confronted with the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to drive a person one way or the other, is what I'm saying. And if a person believes and they act upon the truth and they obey the gospel, listen, they'll never be the same again. Anybody who's in this room who is saved, who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you can testify to the fact that when you repented of your sin and trusted in Christ, your life was never the same again. You've heard my personal testimony. I've given it to you many times. There's a great difference between who I am today and who I was before I came to know Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals what kind of a person you are. The true gospel will change everything about a person's life. And maybe it doesn't change everything all at once. But gradually, every area of our life is affected by the truth of Jesus Christ. But let me say this to you this morning. The same is true if a person rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. If a person spurns the truth, then they're never going to be the same again either. And here's why. Because a person who continues to reject the gospel continually hardens their heart to the truth to the point that God may stop calling. You understand what I'm saying here? The gospel, when we're confronted with it, it's going to drive a person one way or the other. We can't remain neutral. When we hear the gospel, we're confronted with reality. It reveals what kind of a person we are. If we choose to obey the gospel, our life is never the same. But if we choose to reject it, our life is never the same again either. Because as we reject the reality of Christ, our heart becomes more and more hard to spiritual truth. And so the gospel either hardens or softens a person's heart depending upon a person's response to it. The gospel hardens or softens a person's heart depending upon a person's response. See, God is not willing that any should perish. We know that. And John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. God gives everybody an opportunity to be saved. And as the gospel net is cast out into the sea of humanity, it is pulling in and dragging in of every kind. But it depends upon the response of people, whether or not they're good or bad, per se. Does that make sense? It depends on the heart response to the gospel. The gospel is like a net which captures people and eventually exposes what they are and lays bare the true motives of the heart. The time of the gathering is right now. As you are exposed to the gospel, the time of opportunity to be saved is right now. Verse 47 says that net was cast into the sea. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that's cast in the sea, and it's gathering of every kind. That time of gathering is right now. As you're exposed to the gospel, the opportunity to be saved is right now. But I want you to note back with me in verse 48, the time of the drawing. Verse 47 says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind. That gathering is right now. But verse 48 says, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Consider the time of the drawing. When did they draw the net to shore? According to this verse, when it was full. There came a point in time when that net was full. There came a point in time when it was time to draw it into shore. And let me say to you this morning, the net of God's saving grace will not always be in the sea of this world. There's a time of drawing it in. There comes a time of closing. When will that time be? I don't know. But it might be near at hand. The time when Jesus Christ comes again is a time when that net is being drawn in. The time when Jesus comes again is a time when the end of this age is going to be. But of that day and of that hour, the Bible says, no man knows. And when that gospel net is drawn, and when Jesus Christ comes again, then the present privilege and opportunity of salvation is going to be gone. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You might be here this morning, friend, and you're exposed to the gospel. That gospel is gathering you. But the time when it may be gone and the time when it's done, we don't know when that's going to be. Only God knows. And Jesus is illustrating here that the kingdom of heaven is like this net. The gospel is in the sea of humanity right now, and it's gathering in of every kind. But there's coming a time when it's going to be drawn in. It's not always going to be in the sea of this world. The time of opportunity is right now. You look at verse 48 and 49, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels but cast the bad away. Here's Jesus' application. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's coming a day of separation. The time of the drawing, when is the effect of the gospel in this world going to cease? We don't know. But when Jesus comes again, that time of opportunity and privilege is going to be gone. Then comes a day of separation. Jesus said here in this story that they gathered the good and they cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. What was it that determined the destiny of these fish? It was their character. But were the fish the ones who decided which were good and which were bad? The fish weren't the ones who decided which were good and which were bad. Probably all of those fish thought that they were good. But it was the fisherman. It was the one who drew in the net. They sat down and they began to divide. And what I'm saying is, friends, it's not us that gets to determine whether or not we are good or whether we are bad per se. It's not us who gets to determine what the truth is. It's the Lord Himself, and He's given the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Because we're sinners. We've offended God because of our sin. We need to believe the gospel and obey the gospel and repent of our sin. If we do not, there's coming a day of separation. And it's the Lord who's the determiner, not you and not me. I've talked to so many people. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. I told you about this. It was our July 4th cookout that we had out here. A guy that came in his truck and pulled into the parking lot there, or into the driveway, and I started talking with him. Remember this? And I turned the conversation into a spiritual conversation. I told him, I'm concerned about your soul. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And I began to share with him the gospel and give him scriptures. And his response to me was, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. I know I'm good. I said, how do you know? How do you know for sure? He said, oh, I just know I'm good. And I began to share with him more scriptures, and his heart was not open at all. And his final response, listen, this was an amazing thing, again, and confirmation of the truth of God's Word. The Bible causes every mouth to be stopped. And as I would give him scriptures and knock out his crutches, you know, with his answers, he had nothing to say, and he would just stop and he would pause and he would think, and he was stuck. But because his heart was not open to truth, his response was this. He said, I'm so far beyond you right now. He goes, I applaud you for doing what you're doing. You just keep going. Someday you'll get to where I'm at. But I know I'm good. we do not get to decide whether or not we are good based on our own understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's only if we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one day, there's going to be countless numbers of people that stand before God. In fact, Matthew chapter 7 speaks of it. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, look how good we are! Don't we deserve this? And what's Jesus' response going to be? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. People prop themselves up with their religion. I'm a good person. Go to church. I believe God. And they prop themselves up with all different kinds of beliefs, thinking that somehow that merits favor with God. But they will not submit themselves to God's righteousness. They will not submit themselves to God's way of salvation. And they keep going about trying to establish their own righteousness. But when the day comes that we stand before God, there's going to be a separation. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The fact is that the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord is the one who does the separating based on whether or not a person has been saved and truly born again. Jesus said the good are put into vessels, but the bad are cast into the fire. Listen, this is eternal separation from God in a place of torment. Let me conclude this message this morning with Jesus' own words. Look at verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Where are you today? Have you understood these things that the Scriptures teach? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Or are you still lost? The gospel net is gathering you in. And you're faced with a decision, even today. What are you going to do with the gospel? That decision, even a decision that you make today, could ultimately determine your eternal destiny. The gospel either hardens or softens, depending on a person's response. The gospel is at work, and it does and will have its effect. God gives everybody an opportunity to be saved. What about you? Do you know for sure your sins are forgiven? There's coming a day of separation. Does the Lord know you as His own? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we pray that you'd do a work in every heart. And Lord, I don't know a person's heart. I can't see into a person's heart. Father, you know. And there are some here today that you are drawing. Some who've never truly been saved. Maybe they're religious, but they're still lost because they've never repented of their sin and trusted in Christ. Maybe some who have a profession of faith, but their life has never changed. There's no joy in their heart. Lord, may they come to the reality of themselves today. Father, we pray that as you look into the hearts of men, as the gospel is drawing men, Father, that there would be those who are honest with the Lord and honest with themselves. Lord, they come to a saving knowledge of Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray.